Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Welcome, everybody. It is time for another fun-filled episode of the Something Something Cast.
Something Something Cast.
I'm James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob.
And it is time for movies.
It is, because we never talk about movies.
No, but you want to know what? We've been doing a really good job at spreading ourselves out and trying different things. So going back to film, it's like wearing a warm jacket.
It is. You put on a wet bathing suit.
Yeah, wait.
No?
No.
No? Maybe it's just me. I'll tell you, though, when I think of movies, there's one podcast in particular that I do think of.
The Something Something. Oh, wait. No. Go ahead.
We have with us today the Epic Film Guys on our show, live and in person.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, good.
I'm on the show. I'm all about this, and I'm really excited, guys. Really appreciate you having us on. Nick, are you alive there? Are you here?
I was going to say, I'm just going to let Justin drive that one. Just, I'm here. Nobody else is here. Just Justin's here.
The Lone
I'm going to skulk about quietly in the background.
Buck up, Bart. Come on, get with the show. Get with the program, man.
It's a pleasure to be here, guys. Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks for being on. You guys are awesome.
We love you.
Aw, you're nifty.
I wish I could say I was awesome, but I really do appreciate the kind words.
You keep quiet. Now back in your corner and don't come back right. Until the hopes are filled up.
All right.
So we are 3 weeks into the new year at the time of this recording. It will be about 4 weeks in when this airs. We have a whole new year of movies in front of us. A lot of heavy hitters, a lot of that seem to be on the docket for 2018. So we're going to talk about what our three most looked forward to movies of 2018 are going to be.
And Let me tell you, Rob, when you broached this topic, I was like, oh, that's easy. It's just going to be a bunch of Marvel movies. Life's going to, that's fine. I got it. And then I went and I looked at the list and I had to pick and choose amongst three, because there's a lot of big movies coming out this year that I didn't even realize were on the docket and they're on their way.
Yeah. There's a lot of big movies that I think are hoping they're going to be big movies too, that I think are really just grasping at straws. So yeah,
that definitely that
because I looked through the list. I'm like, wow. Oh, really? Ooh, okay. So,
Justin,
so we'll see what we come up
with. Jurassic World sequel.
Hey, that is something that I'm looking forward to. Am I going to mention it this evening? I wasn't going to until you just did, but dinosaurs chasing people getting eaten by dinosaurs. It works for me. It's my thing. I love it.
You just love the Raptor Squad.
How do you want to kick this off there, James?
I mean, why don't we start with our beloved guests to start them off with? What movies are their picks? Just one at a time. We'll go and circle around and have a little discussion phases, drive off on cliffs into nowhere in tangents, and we'll do what we normally do.
Oh, my God.
Just like Thelma and Louise.
I'm Gina Davis.
All right. Okay.
But like Earth Girls Nick, are easy, Gina Davis.
Earth Girls are easy, Gina Davis. Not Pirates of the, not that pirate movie she did? Gina Davis, no?
What pirate movie did she do?
What was it, Treasure Island or something?
Oh, Treasure Island, yeah, dude.
Yes, you're correct.
Wish I had my soundboard so I could play some crickets right now.
It's just because you haven't seen it, Nick. Don't be hating, bro. I know you haven't seen Treasure Island. Okay,
I haven't seen it. You're damn right. I haven't. You're damn right.
Damn you.
So, one of you fine gentlemen, please start us off.
Oh, Justin, I'm making you go first. You do it.
What? Okay. All right. So, we're going to go in, and I assume in order of excitement level. So, like 3, 2, 1. Is that it?
My blow your wad now, and then we'll just get disappointed. What, later.
Whatever order you want to put it in doesn't matter to us. We're all over the place anyway.
I like that. That makes me feel so much more comfortable. Okay, so I'll get this one out of the way. I'm looking forward to Shane Black's The Predator. This is not a movie we've seen really much from so far. We've seen a poster. We've seen cast photos. And we know that Shane Black wrote it with Fred Decker. Hello, Monster Squad, anyone? Night of the Creeps? You know what I'm talking about. So for me, I'm really more intrigued than I guess I could say. I'm excited about it because I like the idea of the pairing of Decker and Shane Black again. And I like the idea of Shane Black doing a Predator movie. I mean, dude was in the first Predator, and he made one of my favorite movies of the last couple of years, which is The Nice Guys. Shane Black's great, minus one movie that he made that both Nick and I will. We decide not to talk about that movie ever, but
dude, sorry, the bile. I'm choking on the bile.
It's been a while since we've seen a Predator on the big screen, and I even liked the last iteration with Predators. So I like the character. It's a huge franchise, and they're looking to make it big again, not just like a small, little smaller scale, inexpensive movie. They're like putting a lot of money into it. So that's my number three for my most excited of the year, so anticipated, whatever you want to call it.
is this in the same universe? Is this a reboot? Is this a recast? Like what? I know nothing about it.
Supposedly it's like a quasi sequel. They've mentioned that because Gary Busey's son is in the film, Jake Busey, and of course we all know Gary Busey was in Predator 2. So supposedly he's the son of Gary Busey's character in Predator 2, but then they've also said like no, it's not like directly connected. So I don't know. I know they did try to get Arnold in for a cameo and he declined. I guess we'll see when we see the trailer if we get a glimpse of what exactly it is we're going to be seeing, but there's nothing in concrete been released so far.
Okay. The poster's pretty baller.
Yeah, the lightning? Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I didn't have a huge problem with Predators, except for the fact that it started to feel like Friday the 13th or the Nightmare on Elm Street movies where you're there for the Predator, and then we really don't give a shit about anybody else because they're just there to die. It didn't seem to have the same kind of feel or gravity that the first one did.
Yeah, I can totally agree with you in that sense, but I'm also a huge slasher fan, so on the other side of that to me is great. Like, I don't care if there are a bunch of just, you know, numbers on the screen that are getting picked off one by one. But I felt connected with Adrian Brody in the film. I thought he was great in the film. So, I mean, I liked the characters. I don't think they'll ever be able to replicate the amazing group of guys they had for the first one. So I kind of just went with it and took it in stride, and I enjoyed it. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I didn't necessarily walk away feeling that way.
Yeah, I'm keeping fingers crossed for this one. I'd love to have a new, really good, awesome Predator movie. So hopefully this one fits that bill.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't wait to see who stars as the mud puddle. Because his weakness is mud.
Oh, because then he's visible.
I hate the Predator. So stupid. He's weak against mud.
I will admit, he's not my favorite big monster.
He's like a bee sting. He's like, you just put mud on him and then, you know, you're good. Or put mud on yourself again. I don't know. The Predator doesn't interest me whatsoever.
All right, then I'm the guy that likes monsters.
From very different sides.
So, Nick, before we get to yours, just real quick, some background info for you. Cutthroat Island, last movie from Carlco Pictures, $98 million budget, did $10 million at the box office.
Oh. Damn.
And I put that squarely on the shoulders of Matthew Modine. He is box office poison.
But not to be confused with the film that I thought we were talking about, which is Treasure Island, which came out in 1990, which starred Christopher Lee, Charlton Heston, and Christian Bale.
Completely different. That's completely right. Completely different movie. Gina Davis was not in that one.
I just saw Gina Davis in a pirate outfit in my head, and I went to a happy place. I'm good.
That was really the only highlight of that whole movie, dude. All right, so what do we got from you there, Nick?
All right, well, this is going to be the only real name picture that anybody's really going to know about that's coming out. Deadpool 2, baby. Oh, I love the first film. The first film was incredible. And Tim Miller's out. We've got Leech coming in to replace him from John Wick, which we just dropped a spotlight of yesterday. I loved that film, so super excited to see where they go with it. I love Reynolds. I love Josh Brolin coming in as Cable. All the returning cast, everybody is back. It's going to be great. Even especially the blind grandma. I can't wait. The blind grandma is my favorite character from the first film. Her and Colossus. Colossus is baller. So.
As a huge Deadpool fan, I was worried about that first one, and they knocked it out of the park in ways that as a long time Deadpool fan, I was thrilled. I didn't hear they replaced C.J. Miller, though. I don't follow a lot of this is all your ballywick with knowing all of the actors that have replaced the other actors. Who's replacing T.J. Miller?
Well, not T.J. Miller, Tim Miller, the director of the first one's out.
Oh, okay.
And the guy that directed John Wick is in. No, T.J. Miller will still be in it.
Even they're going to keep him in it. That's correct.
The sexual whatever allegations.
Good for
whoever
them.
Knows
Good
whatever. For they're them they're not taking him out of it. And
got it.
They're not going to Christopher Plummer him like Ridley Scott did with Kevin. Then again, I don't think anybody's charges are quite as bad as Kevin Spacey's were, you know. So yeah. Nobody was as concerned about anybody else. But yeah, no, the guy that did John Wick is coming in, and he's a really, really great job on that film. So I can't wait to see what he brings to the table in this one. And I just want it to be – I just want to, like, piss myself laughing just like I did the first time.
He's the right tone for violent. He's the right violent tone.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the action work in – John Wick is like far and above like some of the best action stuff we've seen, probably even out of this decade. Like, it's just that
it's one
good.
Of the best action films ever made, in my opinion. It is. So I'm just making.
I'd be hard pressed to make that argument now, but I would say definitely of the decade, it's definitely up there. Especially the way that it lingers on action shots. It doesn't rely on a lot of that stuff that action directors do nowadays, where they cut quickly between. Like 1,000 different takes in 4 seconds. It's like boom, 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 boom. Everything is choreographed. Choreography, stunt choreography is such a huge, huge thing in action films. And I loved seeing it come back in a big way in that film. And yeah, hopefully he kind of brings those sensibilities in here where he's got literally an amazing, amazing sandbox to play in.
I got to say, that's one of my pet peeves too. I really love seeing good stunt choreography and fight choreography play out on the screen.
Oh, hell yeah.
And when they do this every second and a half, they're jump cutting to a different angle. It looks, A, it looks messy, and B, it looks amateur, because you get the sense that they really don't know what they're doing and they're trying to hide it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like when I watched that utter shit can of Resident Evil, the final chapter, there's fight scenes in it where, I mean, legitimately, there's like 4 or 5 cuts per second. Like, it can't even hold a steady shot for anything. Like, it's terrible. And when I watched John Wick, I was so excited to see those incredibly long takes, just the camera moving through as the action takes place, and all of it felt incredibly real. You feel like you're right there in the middle of it. And I think if you put like a Colossus into that equation and a Deadpool, I'm excited. I'm so, so excited for that aspect of it. And just like, yeah, it's kind of like James said, it's just an amazing film. The first one is, it's so incredible. It was one of my favorite films of that year. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do this time around.
Very cool.
It's a great call. Rob,
what do you got there? Okay.
Here we go again.
All right. So this is a little off the beaten path, and it is slated technically now for the end of December. So hopefully this still remains a 2018 movie. But I'm really intrigued by Bohemian Rhapsody.
It was almost on my list.
Yeah,
I'm a big Queen fan. The pictures so far look awesome. Rami Malek, the lead playing Freddie Mercury, looks amazing. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays out. It's a 15-year period from the formation up to their performance at Live Aid in 85. So I'm really looking forward to see how this comes out.
I just really hope that Justin's about to say the same exact thing. I'm really concerned, with all the drama surrounding Bryan Singer's sudden departure from the film, whether or not, it's still going to be able to make that release date and land. I bet you it'll be a limited release at Christmas time and then it'll open wide 2019. But even still, I just really hope that Singer leaving the film doesn't affect it in any way.
I'm hoping it doesn't. It sounds like Dexter Fletcher was brought in right towards the end and that most of the filming was already completed. So it was mostly just some tie up shots in post-production.
Yeah.
Hopefully somebody else's vision in post with, somebody else's shots don't cause any sort of visionary issues. But
so you don't want us to get a Justice League out of the Bohemian Rhapsody movie? You're saying?
I haven't seen Justice League.
Yeah, don't.
I won't see Justice League.
It could be a Rogue One. It could be a Rogue One rather than a Justice League. So there you go.
That's, yep, fair.
That could be too.
Fair point.
But I was not a Beavis fan, so I will not go see Justice League.
I'll eventually see it when it appears on my Plex server.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Maybe they'll do a riff track stuff. That would be pretty sweet.
I guarantee you they will, which is exactly
what I'm looking for. That'd be hilarious.
We just did, over the weekend, we did the Top Gun riff tracks, which was fantastic.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
For my first one, I had to pick between the two big Pixar juggernauts that are coming out, the two sequels. And I went with probably my second favorite Pixar film, and that is Wreck-It Ralph 2. Ralph Breaks the Internet. It takes place 6 years after the first one. They sort of... It's now no longer when, video games are a little more passe, so I'm sure they're going to make app jokes. Apparently there's a spot where they meet all the Disney princesses, and Vanellope introduces herself as one of them. There's not too much that I know about it, because I really try and go into films blind as possible. But they have all the principal actors back, so... I loved Wreck-It Ralph so much. It just tickles my video game lover fancy.
Yeah, I love all that. That's one of my favorite things about that film. It's a good film in and of itself, but I love all the Easter eggs. Just from being especially a classic gamer, playing games all through the 80s and 90s and whatnot. Oh, so many great nods to a lot of different franchises in there. I'm looking forward to that one. I'm surprised. I thought you were going to say Incredibles 2, which I am definitely looking forward to as well.
It was a big fight. It's the only other thing that they could have said that would have that would rank above either of those. It would be like WALL-E 2, which is pretty impossible. So I'm all right. I'm safe.
Oh, it'll never hit, man. That just makes me so sad to think we'll never see WALL-E again. God, I love that. That was like, as an adult, at least, because, I've got a daughter and I would take her to see all the Pixar and Disney stuff, which I really enjoy. I do like them. I like going to see them. But WALL-E was the first one that like legit touched me in a special way. Then after that, like I was on board. So, man, you just had to make me sad, didn't you?
Oh, WALL-E Justin too, just loved that movie because he's just like the people in that movie. He just sits around in this little hovering pod and floats around all day. That's all he does.
If only life were that simple.
Those chairs look comfortable. Just saying. So we've circled
all right,
back around.
So, round one down. Nick, what do we... Justin went first. Justin, what do you got?
All right. So I'm not sure if this is going to show up on any of your guys' lists, but my second most anticipated is Alex Garland's Annihilation, which actually comes out next month.
Yes.
A lot of shit's happened behind the scenes. Supposedly the studio said the film was too philosophical for modern audiences, so they did go back in, make some changes. I'm hoping it's the film that we originally thought we were going to get. It's about a group of soldiers. They enter an environmental disaster zone, and only one comes back out alive. It's Oscar Isaac, of course. Who doesn't love Oscar Isaac? And he is getting it on with Natalie Portman. She goes into this dimension and lots of crazy shit happens, and it just looks beautiful. Ex Machina was one of my favorite films the past couple of years. I absolutely loved it. It's a movie I could just watch any day of the week, and it intrigues me, and it pulls me in really deep, you know, real, real deep. If you know what I'm saying.
Is the lift going to come in here? Is that what's going to happen right now?
You never know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm in a good mood here. There's no soundboard, Nick. There's no soundboard to harass me this entire time. So I can just talk and not have to hear things I don't, you know, nasty, dirty things.
Damn, why did I not get the soundboard? Son of a bitch.
But we don't get original science fiction very often. And when we do, it kind of gets passed over and people ignore it. So I'm really hoping this does well. I hope it's great. I'm really excited. It comes out February 23rd of next month.
And you say, do you know whether they've already plotted to do the other books? Because I know it's part of a trilogy.
That's correct. Yeah. By Jeff Vandermeer, I believe. I have no idea.
Okay.
To be honest with you, knowing Hollywood, if this doesn't do well enough, which unfortunately I don't see this doing gangbusters or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was originally a plan or anything. They were going to do like a whole trilogy. It'd be cool if this is good and it does well, and then we want to see another one. But as of right now, I've read nothing of the sort.
And I think Ex Machina could get asses in seats, though. A lot of people really shown onto that movie. And the good thing about it is even though they did have, you know, differences at the studio level on what they wanted the final cut of the film to be, we are still going to see Alex Garland's ending. They didn't get the chance to change the ending like they wanted to. Alex Garland and I forget who the two studios are at the point, but Alex Garland and the one studio won the argument anyway. So we're going to see at least the original ending that Garland had intended. So too intellectual, be damned.
I got to say, Ex Machina was an amazing movie. I was surprised at how much I liked it for having, it was like a 4-person cast. It was a really small movie, but it didn't feel small.
Yeah. Perfectly put it.
Yeah. The fact that they had it like in that secluded cabin, really, it was almost like a ship in a bottle kind of movie because they were so secluded from everything else. It was easy to explain why there was only like 3 people in the entire movie, basically. But it was a really good film. Have you seen that one, Haddon?
I have not, actually.
Oh, you got to check it out. It was really good.
I'm way backlogged at this point. It's been a rough couple months.
But I know, definitely check it out. Yeah, I'm reading up on Annihilation here. It looks pretty sweet.
It looks super pretty.
I can't wait. Natalie Portman's one of my favorite actresses as well, too. So it's just, yeah, I'm really excited mostly to see what Alex Garland does as a follow-up to Ex Machina. That's really what I'm the most excited for. So we'll see. I'm super excited for it.
And there's scary things that happen in the trailer, like crazy creatures you've never seen before. And I think people are going to get killed and stuff. And I like that stuff. So please, yes, thank you, Alex Garland. I want original science fiction, and I want it good. So I'm all about it.
Children might get killed, and then Loy Sauce will be happy.
Oh, don't mention Loy Sauce. He's going to come in here and want to see more children killed. But, you know, I'm going to pass it off to you, Nick. What's next on your list? What do you got, buddy?
All right, well, we're swerving over into indie territory, even though this one will definitely get a wider release, given its subject matter and its director and its star. It's First Man, which is Damien Chazelle's follow-up to La La Land. It's a biopic of Neil Armstrong leading up to the Apollo 11 mission, and he's got the Gaz, Ryan Gosling, playing Neil Armstrong. And I love Damien Chazelle. Whiplash, one of my favorite movies of the past few years. La La Land was very high on both mine and Justin's. Actually, it was your number one, I believe, last year, Justin. Well, 2016 now, not 2017. So 2016, I believe it was your number one film of the year. But yeah, I'm so excited to see where he goes, because he's going kind of in a different territory with this one, and it's going to be really, really interesting to see how he does in biopic phase, I guess. And Gosling's always pretty exciting to watch, so yeah.
Yep. Even when he's standing around just staring for minutes on end. I just rewatched Blade Runner 2049, which was in my top 5 of the year, guys. And he's great at just staring at things in front of beautiful backgrounds. I love the guy to death. He's one of my favorite actors, but he's so good at that.
Standing around staring at things, who does it better? Ryan Gosling or Oh, fuck. This whole bit is ruined now. I forgot his name. Dances with Wolves.
Kevin Costner?
Yes. I had the Kevin part.
You know what?
That's, no, the that's movie actually, itself.
That's interesting. That's interesting to think about, because he is known for that in a lot, especially a lot of his older films. Like, he doesn't really do it as much anymore. But, dude, that's an interesting question. We may have to come back to that on our show, or, like, think about that and bring that back up again. Just like, maybe we'll do, like, a test and, like, watch Gosling films versus watching Costner films and really just see who's better at staring.
I think it was a lot of Dances with Wolves and Waterworld, where there were just, like, minutes on end of him just standing, staring out into the distance.
Well, yeah, dude, when you're like, well, especially on Waterworld, when you're just on a boat the entire time, what else are you going to do? He's got barely any dialogue in that movie, except for when he yells at people. But
that was a blessing, though. The lack of dialogue. Yeah, I'm looking at the casting for First Man here. Corey Stoll is playing Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah.
He's got the look. I just don't know if I can look at Corey Stoll and not see the dude from House of Cards who, you know, drank himself to death, basically.
Poor bastard. It's that guy.
Yeah, and he was the villain in Ant-Man.
Yep.
Yellow Jacket. Which I looked at him and said, it's the House of Cards guy. It's the same character.
I mean, this is super.
Yeah, I do have trouble seeing him outside of that role. He was great in that role, though. He was great.
He was fantastic, but it was like his biggest role to date, so I think it's kind of hard to take him out of that.
Yeah. You know, I'm super excited. Like I said, I love Damien Chazelle. I love what he did in Whiplash. I love what he did in La La Land. So, like I said, this will be a little bit different territory for him, so I'm really eager to see where this one goes.
That is very cool. And it looks really interesting. The cast looks really great. I like the concept of it, too. Leading up to it, as opposed to just rehashing the mission again.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll even get, like, if we'll get any of the actual mission itself, if it'll all just be beforehand, or I don't know.
That's a touchy subject, honestly. It really is a touchy subject, especially with, you know, it being split down the middle of people thinking one thing versus the other, and, you know, what really happened.
Middle?
You know what I mean?
Down the middle? That's given a lot of suspect credit.
Dude, I mean, hey, this is just based upon the documentaries that I've seen and social media. And, well, dude, there's people on this planet right now, again, like, there's a huge group, I'm not sure if you've seen it or not, that they think that the planet is flat. If that's not any...
And Buzz Aldrin will punch them.
He will. That footage is so good. I watch it in slow-mo. It's so good.
That's the movie that we need. We need Buzz Aldrin doing like a Jay and Silent Bob from the end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh my God,
just going door to door to flat earthers. Are you Earth is Flat 25? Yes. And just decking people.
I would pay a lot of money to watch that. A lot of times.
How awesome would that be? Oh, man.
Part of me makes me want to believe that that he's good enough to put in the film, like, just little nods to make those guys chime up on forums. You know, like, somebody playing somebody looks remarkably like Stanley Kubrick in the back of NASA during that, because he's the one who set up the moon landing.
Oh, that would be great.
All right, Rob, we switch over.
I have two here, and they're both going to be, I'm sure, mentioned by other people, unless... You know, there's just some sort of hatred going on. I have to put Infinity War on my list.
Of course.
It was quite possibly, when I was in my comic book collecting phase, the best comic book arc and crossover that I had read. When I saw the first Avengers movie, that little teaser of Thanos at the end, I was hoping to God that they weren't going to make him the villain for the next one, because think of it in terms of wrestling, and Hatton can vouch for me on this. You can't throw four people against Thanos and have him look like a badass. You got to throw 30 people against Thanos to make him come off as a badass. Yep. So I was hoping beyond hope they were going to do it right. Everything so far seems to lead up that they are indeed going to take care of this and do this the right way. I almost have to scroll down two screens just to get through the starring on Wikipedia, because there's so many people in this movie. But I think the Russo brothers are going to do an excellent job with this if Civil War is any indication. So this is probably my most looked forward to for 2018.
Yeah, I mean, it better be good. We're expecting to get 3-4 episodes out of it alone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you guys know this or not, but you've got Epic Film Guy Nick on your show right now, and Nick doesn't like Marvel movies.
That's okay.
I'm not sure if you knew this or not, because he
even if we had known that, we would have brought him on, because we always love to hear the dissenting opinion. So
I was hoping he was going to chime in and say something, but I think he's behaving himself this evening.
I don't know what Justin's talking about. He's crazy. I've never said one bad thing about a Marvel film in 127 episodes of the Epic Film Guys, never once.
Oh, I don't know what he's talking about. I must be thinking of somebody else.
It was all some kind of crazy fever dream or something. I don't know.
Wow. Dude, legit, that's some crazy shit right there. I just dreamt all that up? Wow.
I was saving it because he asked me to prepare one film that I absolutely don't care about in Infinity Wars, the movie.
Aw, did I ruin it? Did I really ruin it? Enough. I'm sorry.
You did. Spoiler alert. God,
that's okay.
Damn it.
Well, we can jump back to that when we get towards the wind down. But now I know what is it about the Marvel movies? Is it the tone? Is it the storytelling? Is it the... Because I know from what I've seen and from what I've heard on your show, you're more of a DC guy. Would that be fair to say?
Well, I was.
Until what?
Until 1, 2, 3, Suicide Squad, then Wonder Woman, and then finally Justice League was the final nail in the coffin. And now I've tossed my hands up in the air and like literally the R-rated stuff, which now that, you know, we got Logan, which I loved last year, and Deadpool's pretty much all we've got left. And we'll see what Sony makes out of this Venom movie, and Fox has got that horror New Mutants thing, but that's getting pushed to, I think, next year now. I think it's 2019 now.
That's right.
So, I used to be, but then, no, Suicide Squad was a goddamn dumpster fire. Wonder Woman I had a lot of problems with, and then Justice League was almost as big of a dumpster fire as Suicide Squad was. So I was just like, no.
From the other
Marvel
side
movies, to me, they just... I really, most of them, and it's not to say that I don't like any of them, especially Cap's films. I've always really loved the three Cap films, Civil War, Winter Soldier, and then the first Avenger. They're all great films, but most of the Marvel movies, they're just really forgettable to me. They're really like, I don't care enough. Like, they're just, I really feel like to develop a great hero, you have to develop a great villain. And I feel like that's that one area that Marvel, they refuse to focus on it. Like, you know, they've come out of the woodwork and they've said, you know, yeah, we know that our villains don't get a lot of screen time and they're not as well developed as the heroes, and audiences seem to love it, so they don't give a shit. So I'm never going to get maybe, you know what, if I hear differently about Thanos when Infinity War comes out, maybe we'll see, but... Yeah, I'm not holding on.
You're seeing it anyways, and you're watching Black fucking Panther next month too. Damn it, you're seeing them both.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, you are.
Black Panther.
You're seeing them both. You're seeing.
I will say I do agree with you on the villain standpoint. They could stand to flesh out their villains more, or even use the right villains. Because the thing that pissed me off about Iron Man 3 was that whole Mandarin bait and switch that pissed me off to no end. But
call back to that Shane Black movie Justin was referring to earlier.
Exactly. You just brought it up, man. You opened that huge can of worms. Oh, no.
I'm surprised that Wonder Woman was on your nail in the coffin list and not Batman versus Superman.
Nope. I love Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
I feel like, did the call just hang up? Is that what happened?
We're just stunned in silence.
Just a busy signal in my ear.
Whispering the word Martha, we are confused.
I loved that movie. And then especially for me, I mean, Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot is great in it. And Patty Jenkins did a fantastic job directing it, slow-mo aside. But I really feel like it's like the finale of that film, the whole Ares battle is it's garbage. It's god awful. And then Justice League was basically like if you took that final battle of Wonder Woman and made a whole movie out of it, and it was just it looked like a. I feel ill talking about it. Don't make me talk about it. Justin,
you're, you're, You're only speaking for yourself. You're only speaking for yourself. I loved Wonder Woman, and I don't necessarily carry the same feelings about the Marvel films as you do, even though we have been named by many people behind the scenes that don't want to say it to our face, that were like Marvel-hating jerks. But it's not necessarily the case. I see every single Marvel film, and last year I actually liked each Marvel movie that I saw a lot, and I gave them all pretty good ratings, so... It is what it is. Wonder Woman, I thought, was very uplifting, very powerful.
Let's see. Ragnarok was last year.
Ragnarok, Spider-Man Homecoming, which you did not see.
Yep, and I didn't see Homecoming.
And Guardians 2, which you did not like.
Well, that movie was fucking garbage. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Since it's brought up, I got to say, I didn't like Guardians 2.
I enjoyed it. But
I felt somebody went into the pre-production meeting of Guardians 2 and said, so how do we make Guardians more Guardians? And it just felt way too over the top. Like the most of the movie was just set up for slow-mo shots with really cool music over it.
Agreed.
I wasn't the first one I really liked. The second one I wasn't so much a fan of.
First one's definitely better than the second one, but that's not an unpopular opinion though, because a lot of people really soured on Guardians 2 versus Guardians 1. And Guardians 2 in a lot of places just felt like an extended toy commercial, especially when, I mean, Baby Groot's adorable, but Jesus Christ. You're going to sell enough of them, guys. Just dial it down a notch.
Hatton, bring us back on track. What do you got?
Shit. I Infinity Gauntlet. I like me Marvel.
so those words are yes. Now
I was going to go with my movie that I'm looking forward to, but I am preparing myself to be dramatically disappointed in. And that is Ready Player One, because I loved that book. Its flaws aside, and it definitely has some flaws from sort of video gaming, because the movie takes place in a far future, like 2100, somewhere in there. But video games altogether stopped, as far as the writer concerned, in 1983. Every sort of video game homage in there is to adventure and, olden television games and Tron Light Cycles. And the guy stopped playing games before Doom, so there's nothing in there for that. But... it's been taken on by the Spielberg machine, so it's going to be super, super pretty, but I am worried that it's going to lose some of its heart. It came from the book Ready Player One by Ernest Klein. It's going to be huge. It's going to make bank, but I will go see it in the theater, because I will always go see a big-budget mofo on the big screen, because that's the way I think it's supposed to be there. But, I do have big concerns that the movie itself is gonna just be sort of cookie cutter.
See, I have to say, like, I didn't read the book. I know a lot of people are really mixed on the book. Like, friends of mine, like Loy Sauce, hated the book. Other friends of mine really loved the book. But I read that the book has a lot of like Spielberg-y and little winks and nods, and that they've gone in and like removed those since Spielberg's actually directing the movie. My main issue with it, and I love Spielberg. I mean, I keep saying to everybody, I just saw the post a few weeks ago. He keeps making solid yet safe Spielberg movies. Like, you know, they're going to be good. Mm-hmm. He's not going out of his comfort zone. This looks like an example of something that he could actually come out of his comfort zone. But for me, the aesthetic, I mean, I'm not a gamer. I was when I was young, but this movie just looks like, it reminds me of Warcraft, where it's like, once you go into that world, it's all CG. Like, there's nothing practical at all. And for me, there's nothing for me to grab onto or hold onto and actually feel like I'm there. So I think that's the only thing holding me back from it. 'Cause like 80s nostalgia, like I live that every day. That's like my favorite thing in the world. And the trailer has this weird tone to it. Like, I don't know. It didn't gel with me. I don't really know how to feel about it.
It comes across like Tron 2 versus Tron, where it just feels
Tron 2 had like practical sets though, at least.
Fair enough.
I like Tron 2.
I enjoy it. I can watch it and I love it in 3D, and like it's definitely a guilty pleasure movie for me. But there is how clinical it feels.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's nowhere near the first film or anything like that. But I mean, like I said, it's awesome. It's coming on people's lists. For real, this is something different. It's not a comic book movie. It's not a major franchise. So it's something different from the norm. I hope it does well, and I hope that I like it. But based on what I've seen, I'm like, it's.
Yeah, I have a worry. I think the Oasis, which is their virtual world that they're all in, you have a very good point that could be the make or break of it, because it's just going to be too faux and not enough.
I mean, they're throwing everything in there other than, literally, if you see, Freddy Krueger's in the trailer, all these different random characters. Gamers are seeing all these gaming characters and stuff. But.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cultural references here, and I think there's only one that's listed that's from within the past 5 years.
Yeah, no, it's very much, even the book is that way. The book has these kids going through, in this futuristic world with this futuristic VR, they're going through old school video games. And so in the book, it was my one flaw that this guy was, his childhood was only these games before blah blah blah, and I know me, and I think that was why I took it on myself. I very much identified in it, so I played games for the I'm gonna play games for the rest of my life. I enjoy Light Cycles, but I also enjoy Uncharted.
Yeah, the interesting note here is that Spielberg recognized that his past films were a significant part of the pop culture cited in the book. So to avoid being accused of vanity, he opted to avoid using any references to his own films.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, that's crazy. The 80s are Spielberg, but what do I know?
That's why Super 8 is one of my favorite films ever, because it's one of the most Spielbergian films not done by Spielberg.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, he produced it. I mean, he had creative input and everything, but God bless Abrams for that movie. I love that movie so much. Pre-Stranger Things, and no one ever remembers it.
It's so good.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, definitely.
So that's on mine. Ready Player One.
All right there, Justin. Back to you. What do we got?
Okay. I'm pretty positive this film is not going to show up on any of your guys' lists. I may be wrong, but hey, whatever. This was my number one most anticipated of the year on our show, and I don't care if I get shit for it. It's David Gordon Green's Halloween. That's not the official title as of right now, but it is a Halloween film. It's coming out in October of this year, and I'm super pumped about it. Super pumped. They got Jamie Lee Curtis back in the role of Laurie Strode. It is a direct sequel to the original classic John Carpenter film. John Carpenter himself is executive producing, and he may be doing the score for the film. And they're trying to bring The Shape back to Halloween. We're not talking about Michael Myers in a mask, people. We're talking about The Shape, that thing that's pure evil that's just going to come after you and kill you for no reason. That's what makes it scary. I'm a huge fan of the franchise. The first Halloween's one of my favorite movies of all time, and I love slasher films, and we don't have that many slashers hitting theaters these days, but last year we had a lot of great horror films hit, and I feel like it's now the modern renaissance of horror. Get Out was great last year. Split, I really enjoyed. We had Happy Death Day was even fun. We had It. Shut up. You don't like horror. You don't know what you're talking about anyway. You did like it, though. I do love you for that. But I mean, in general, it's been a great build up the past couple of years. I mean, even the year before, we had Green Room. A lot of great indie and bigger stuff coming out. So, I mean, for me, I love Halloween. I'm really hoping. Now, of course, people are going to say, well, dude, the guy directing it, he directed Pineapple Express. It's got Danny McBride, who co-wrote it. Dude, that's the guy that's playing fucking Crocodile Dundee's son in this new movie. Yeah, I saw the trailer. It looks questionable, but I'm all about this. I love Halloween, so it's my number one. I can't fucking wait for it.
I'm going to say that when I heard that it's the direct sequel to the original Halloween, I was on board for trying it. Because
I mean, what else are you going to do, really? I mean, you can't, if you do another sequel to the second film, which is a film Carpenter wrote himself that he doesn't like, he didn't like doing it because he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't have anything to come up with. He was making the same movie as he made the first time.
Right.
Then it'd be, involved with people like, well, why isn't it H2O3? Why isn't it a sequel to Halloween Resurrection? And I don't think anyone wants to see Busta Rhymes come out of retirement and spin kick Michael Myers again. I certainly don't. Huge, one of the worst moments of the franchise for me. But I mean, what else are you going to do? Other franchises have tried it. Texas Chainsaw's done a prequel to a prequel to the first film, a sequel to the first film after the fact. It is what it is. As long as it's a good film, it's entertaining, it's scary, and it brings things back to the original feeling and tone of the first film, I'm all in, and I care so much about it. I want horror to keep living and breathing new life for modern audiences because it's kind of died out a little bit. So that's my number one.
I hope we get a prequel to the Rob Zombie film so we can go back and see his deadbeat, drunk, piece of shit dad, like the whole movie. That's all it's just following that guy.
That would be suicide worthy. Come on, Nick. Please. No one likes Rob Zombie's Halloween movies.
I was just going to ask you what your take on those were.
Oh, you know, to be fair, I gave them both. I was very excited for his first film. Very excited. Like I followed everything that happened with it, like all the news, all the set releases, all the videos, all the trailers and everything that I saw at opening day. Like I took the day off and saw the first showing of it. And long story short, I didn't understand why I didn't like it. And I had to see it again another time to realize it's not my Halloween. He did something different. His original vision was something I definitely appreciate. The studio would never have let him done it. And I like parts of it. But as a film as a whole, I don't like it. It's a mess. And he does too much with the mythology to change it from what it originally was that made it so special. And his sequel, on the other hand, is just straight garbage for many, many reasons, which I could talk for an hour about. So I'll leave it at that. But I mean, I appreciate what he tried with the first one, but it's not a good film and it's not a Halloween film to me.
So let me ask you this, and this may be off the beaten path and outside the box, but it seemed like his Halloween movie, they really wanted to make you more sympathetic to the whole Michael Myers character. No, go ahead.
They wanted to give him a backstory because he didn't have one before. And here's the thing. I'm beating a dead horse here, but this is the truth. Everyone says this, and I agree with it. This is my mentality about horror. If you know why the boogeyman is the boogeyman, if you take everything that's swept under the carpet and you show it to everyone and you see the reality of what it is, it's not scary anymore. I don't want to know why the killer kills. I like the fact that he kills because he kills, and that's it. And you don't know the reason why. That's what makes it scary. When a guy goes into somebody's house late at night, and he terrorizes them and he kills them or burglarizes them and you don't know the reason, that shit's scary, man. Like once you know that the kid, it's white trash home. The kid was beat. He was abused. It's like legit, like giving it a 21st century excuse as to why he's going to kill people. And I get it. Like he tried something different with the character, and the parts about that film that I enjoy the most are the stuff with Dr. Loomis and young Michael Myers, because it's different. If you're going to remake something, do your own thing with it. And he tried, and those are the best parts to me. But after it picks up when he's an adult, then it's like, oh, we're just going to basically make it shot for shot, but way more bloody and more violent and white trash than the original film.
So do you think that movies like the Rob Zombie Halloween and like Dracula Untold and like Maleficent, do you think those came about in part because of, for lack of a better phrase, the Wicked effect?
Well, to be honest with you, I think all of them came out of the hunger for money, to be fair.
True. That's the reason behind everything that's being made in Hollywood, pretty much.
But I mean, you know, everyone wants that whole the untold story of so-and-so. So, I mean, with Zombie's original script, which I've read parts of, and I've watched the first cut that he had, that he screened and people actually liked, but then the studio said, go put more kills in it, go do whatever you want with it. Then he changed it, and then that's the movie that I don't like. There are a lot of things he did in his first cut and his first script that I actually enjoyed about the film. As an example, Michael Myers gets killed at the end, and that's the shot at the end. He's dead. Like, he's not still walking around or anything. I think it's just everyone's want for something slightly different, but people like modern audiences want to be spoon-fed everything. They want to be told everything. That's why when I was talking about Annihilation earlier, the studio's like, it's too philosophical. There's too much thought going into this. We don't want audiences to think. We want them to buy tickets. We want them to buy food at the concession stand. We just want them to keep coming back to see it again so they enjoy it. It's entertainment. They don't care if it's actually there's a point to it or not. So I think that's the whole mentality behind it all.
Fair enough.
I could keep going forever. So I'm going to
Yeah, I was going to compare, Rob, just as you said, I was going to compare it to like Maleficent, which I saw and just with wide-eyed, jaw-dropped stupor. It immediately makes the villain a whole lot less interesting once I agree wholly with you. They're just not interesting at that point. Or they lose some of their, at the very least, they lose some of what makes them evil, because now we're supposed to sympathize, which you're not supposed to sympathize with evil. You're supposed to fear evil.
She's evil because men are bad.
Right. And it's just, it just seems like it's one of those things where in recent pop culture memory, Wicked seems to be that story where they're trying to give you the backstory as to why she is the way she is and why she's as evil as she is, and try to humanize her and make her a sympathetic character. And I know Hollywood goes through these, you know, roller coaster ups and downs where somebody gets a bug up their ass of an idea, and all of a sudden that's kind of the theme for the next 2 years worth of movies.
Oh, sure. Right.
It just seemed like that seemed to be maybe one of the first dominoes that fell, that suddenly gave movie studios of, hey, we can do this with Dracula, we can do it with Maleficent, we can do it with Michael Myers, we can do it with, and try to make them more sympathetic people, to be more understood. But you're right. The whole point of a villain is it's part of it's scary because you don't know why they're doing it. And when you know why they're doing it, and suddenly you can go, oh, well, I mean, I would have done the same thing maybe, then he's no longer a villain.
Which goes back to why I'm really excited about, And I'll shut up after this, I promise, guys. I'm sorry for talking so much.
No, go ahead.
Why I'm so excited about the new Halloween is, even though I never minded as a young kid, like, the whole Laurie Strode is Michael Myers' sister angle, it was put in there to connect things because they weren't planning, like, 3, 4, 5 down the road. They were just trying to do a second film, getting it done, getting it released, and for it to make money. And that was Carpenter's way of trying to connect the dots and make things for the end finale feel connected, like it meant something. I never liked the whole sister angle. It doesn't mean anything to me. So that's why I'm very interested to see how they're going to do that in the new one. Like, well, Laurie Strode's in this. Why is he after her? It's going to make it scary again in my eyes. So it's just a little bit of a tidbit of what makes it interesting to me.
I did.
Fair enough.
Where are we next?
Hello. What happened?
Oh, I'm still here.
Nick just mic dropped, Justin just mic dropped and shut the whole show down.
I can't help it.
Damn it.
Nick hates me for this. I'm sorry. You I can't help quiet. It. I'm having fun. Quiet. I'm sorry.
I'm going to put you over my knee next time I see you and whoop
I'll
you.
Just mute myself. I'll mute myself while I talk so you guys can talk over me. I'm totally sorry. I'm so sorry.
Nick, your rebuttal?
I don't have one. No, I mean, Justin's a horror guy on the show. I'm definitely not. I'll see it. And, you know, I do love the first Halloween film. I don't have nearly the affinity for horror films or slashers or anything like that that Justin does. So I go into them with a much different kind of mindset, even though, yeah, last year I loved Get Out. I thought it was a fantastic film. Split was shit, though. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, I disagree. Split was so much fun.
I hated Split so much. I love James McAvoy. McAvoy, like, alone, like, he, if you just cut him out of that film, like, he was great, but literally the rest of that entire film, especially the protagonists who, God, they were terrible. Oh, just horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. I hate M. Night Shyamalan so much.
My favorite M. Night Shyamalan story is, I don't even remember what movie I was watching, but the trailer for, what was it, Devil? The one where they're all in the elevator? Yeah,
oh, I didn't see that, but I heard of it.
Oh, the trailer.
Did he actually direct that, or did he just produce it? I don't even remember. Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter for the story. The trailer comes on, and, like, the people are kind of, like, all intrigued, and you hear people gasping, and they're all curious. And then the screen goes black, and M. Night Shyamalan comes on, and everybody started booing and throwing popcorn at the screen. It was hilarious. Like, everybody was so hyped. Oh, this motherfucker. It was great.
He produced and story by.
Okay. So yeah, he didn't direct it. But, I mean, even so though, that name has been poisoned for a long time. So I get it. I get it. I totally understand. Nick, what movie do you have? Do you have a movie?
I do. And I got yelled at. Somebody yelled at me somewhere for it and said it didn't count because it's a cheat. Because the director of my number one film has been dead for over 30 years. My number one is Orson Welles' The Other Side of the Wind. This is a film that he shot between 1970 and 1976. Welles has always been my favorite director. He's always been just one of those figures in Hollywood who just had a fascinating life, a fascinating career. And this is just one of those films that he finished filming, but he could never secure funding to get it completed and released. And it's gone through legal hell for the past few decades. It's finally going to get released this coming year on Netflix. And I am so excited to see this film. And it's, God, where's my, I had a little synopsis of it. Basically, it's the 70th birthday party of a movie director. And it's got like a film within a film of a film that he created, the director in the film created, and just all the information that I've read about the little pieces, the little bits and pieces over the years that people have managed to see have said it's fantastic. They are spending a lot of money on this film to get it completed correctly. Wells left very detailed editing notes for the parts of the film he did not finish. So I am so excited. I am through the roof excited. I don't care if it was made, you know, almost 40 years ago or started principal photography almost 40 years ago. I don't care.
So no, my number Nick, one. Is this getting a theatrical release or no?
I do not know. It's Netflix. So maybe like if it's good enough and they want to try to push it for awards consideration, even though I don't know how that would work considering a lot of people that are involved with it are dead. So, I mean, you know, I don't know exactly how that works. I mean, I would imagine maybe a limited one just to try to qualify it for some kind of awards or something like that. But it'll definitely be streaming on Netflix, which is all I care. As long as I get to see it, I do not care.
So with that said, so it's the movie wasn't finished. So are they using are they using CGI and stuff to fill in the gaps? Like how are they?
Nope. He finished filming it.
Oh,
So all the film was completed. It just never got edited and, you know, cut together with music and all that stuff. The post-production was never finished. Gotcha. On it, basically. So they've got the entire film. It's just a matter of getting it put together, and Wells could just never get the money together. He notoriously had huge issues financing projects. He often would act in films just to raise money to, you know, this 6 years this film took to make, and that's because he would have to work and he would have to get money, and then he would pour that money back into the picture, and then they'd shoot for a few days or whatever period of time until he ran out of money, and then he had to go do something else to make more money. And that's kind of the story of Orson Welles, is, you know, that was his life, you know, constantly struggling to try to make films. No one would finance his films. People would laud him as this cinematic god, as this cinematic genius, especially toward the end of his life, and they would worship, you know, films like Citizen Kane and things of that nature. And then nobody would ever actually give him money to let him finish some of the other projects he was trying to work on. And I think it was a long time ago I read it, so I'd have to paraphrase it. But Spielberg actually bought the sled, one of the sleds from Citizen Kane, the sled Rosebud. And, you know, Orson Welles at the time said, yeah, Spielberg will spend like $250,000 on a sled, but he won't give me $250,000 to help me finance another film. You know, like that was Orson Welles' life, unfortunately. And like I said, this thing's been in legal hell for decades between Welles' daughter and his mistress and, you know, battling over the rights to it. And It's just, God, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, that makes, I was going to ask, like, what, I mean, at some point in time between his passing and now, I would assume somebody would have asked for it. But it makes sense that in his various estates, it's been an argument.
Go to the Wikipedia page and just read up on the legal difficulties of it. It's like paragraphs and paragraphs long. Tons. Yeah, yeah.
I'm actually it's there now, crazy. And it's ridiculously long.
It's insane the dramatics that this film went through, because Beatrice Wells is his daughter, and he left certain portions of his estate to Oja Kadar, who was his mistress. And there's a clause in his will that stated that nobody could interfere in her portions of the inheritance, and nobody paid attention to it. And that probably would have helped to clear some of this stuff up. But I mean, regardless, it doesn't matter now, because we are finally going to get it. And I love Wells. I mean, Wells is just one of those directors who his work is incredible in terms of studying film, in terms of studying where film has been.
There's no one else like him out there.
I cannot wait to see this film.
Yeah. I'm looking through the missing elements. It says they have 10 hours of footage. It's really just like opening narration and music, and he edited like 40 to 50 minutes of it, and the rest of it is unedited. So it's really just a musical score, more editing and opening narration. But yeah, they have the footage of it.
Yeah, they have assembled an all-star team, apparently, of editors, of sound mixers, and everything to put this film together and finally get it out there. Netflix, like, apparently they couldn't get anybody to really commit a lot of money to it, but finally Netflix came in and just threw down millions of dollars and said, yeah, we're doing this thing.
That's so smart.
Yeah, I'm glancing over the stuff here, the legal issues as we're talking, and it's ridiculous.
It's insane. It's just crazy.
That's very cool. I'm going to have to check that out when it comes on Netflix. Just because of the story behind it now, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, now I have to see this.
Yeah, I knew nothing about it before, and now it's going to make my list for things I must watch when it pops up on Netflix.
I nearly shat my pants when I found out it was coming out this year, because I've read about it like years ago, but I never ever thought that they would ever get close to completing it.
Very cool.
Neat.
So now that we've gone in this deep classical filmmaking, you know, direction, I'm gonna pull it back towards the non-thinking film people, and just based on previous conversation, apparently Nick will hate me. I have to put Black Panther on the list. Yeah, this movie looks like it's gonna be gangbusters when it comes out. Every trailer that I've seen has been more epic and awesome than the last one. The cast is fantastic. Chadwick Boseman has been doing a great job in the role just through Civil War was amazing. So I can't wait to see what he can do given his own movie to helm. I think it's just going to be amazing.
It's the trailer. We discussed the trailer on previous episodes. It's beautiful looking like set movie, just sort of different color schemes than previous ones. It's so much more vibrant, and I hope beyond hope that it is culturally sensitive enough to not be just a fucking train wreck. But you and me agree that Marvel, we are on the pro Marvel side of things, so I'm totally with you about being all aboard on Black Panther.
It looks, here's the thing. This film needs to be good for more reasons than one. Let's just make it clear. Like, aside from fandom, this is a very important film. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Like, this is the first all black superhero movie ever. And it's got that cast you're talking about, an amazing cast. It needs to actually be above and beyond the name DC, the name Marvel, any title of anything. It needs to be very special. It needs to be a really good movie.
Well, I agree. It's storyline wise, it's the last movie to come out before Infinity War, so it has a lot of storyline stuff to set up to go into this movie. But yes, culturally, the cast is one of the biggest deals about this movie. But I mean, if you look at the people in this cast, there's not one of them that's a slacker in this. I can't see that this movie does poorly. The only people, I think there's a subset of this country that this movie will not play well with, and they are a subset of people in this country that I do not wish to discuss. So I will say it's not going to be 100% universally loved. But I think as far as fandom goes, I think as far as reviews goes and pop culture and cultural impact goes, I think it's going to, I'm hoping it's going to hit a home run, and I think it will.
I'm hoping so as well. I'll be completely honest with you guys. Black Panther was one of my favorite things about Civil War in general. Anytime he was on screen, I'm like, he's still in the show. The two things that made that movie great, aside from the direction and everything, was Spider-Man and Black Panther. Take those things away and, well, it's a fine movie, but those were the highlights. But I'll be honest, like the first trailer did nothing for me at all. Like I felt like it was trying extremely too hard to kind of be like, hey, we're that new hip, cool urban thing. Like we're that thing you should like. I wish it was a little more subtle, but I get where they're coming from. It's not the filmmaker's fault the way that it's marketed most of the time. So I'm hoping for the best. I'll be there opening night in my theater seat to see it.
Yeah, and you got
to I have to agree with you about Civil War. Every time he was on the screen, either as T'Challa or in the costume, he had this power about him.
Definitely.
The scene where he's talking with Natasha, and he was like, well, then I'll just go kill him myself, and just kind of casually walks off after making a comment like that. Or when they're in the bus and he's talking to Captain and he's like, you know, how do you think you're going to keep your friend from me? He just had this gravitas about him. And then when he's in the costume, the fighting style, I loved the choreography that they did with him. They did their homework because everything was very feline oriented. Everything was very cat oriented, from the way he attacked to the way he landed to the way he rolled. It was just visually very well done.
I totally agree with you.
I was going to say, when talking about the trailer, it's got to play to Middle America. You know, I can't fault them for making
it. I get it. But yeah. we're here to talk about and somewhat criticize. So
oh, sure.
That's my critique, you know.
You really think Middle America is where that's going to play to?
No, I'm saying that the trailer has to be as all income. It has to do what it can. It has to push what buttons it can to try and get as many people as it can.
Okay.
So
it has to look fun and hip, man. It has to look like the coolest shit on screen that you're going to see. And that's what the trailer, at least to me, you know, we're seeing Black Panther jumping off. We already saw him jumping off cars in Civil War. We're seeing him jumping off cars, off of buildings. And then we have, you know, very loud hip hop booming in the background, which I don't have a problem with at all. But it was like the first trailer, at least, was like an all action trailer. They really wanted to impress. And I just felt personally, as far as a trailer went, it was trying a little bit too hard. But that's just me. That's just me.
Well, I gotcha. Nick?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I don't care.
You will be seeing it because I'll put a poll up on our page and our fans will vote for you to see it. So you're going to see it.
He keeps talking about these damn lopsided polls that no one would ever vote in my favor on it. I mean, these Marvel films, they just don't interest me. I agree with everything you said about Boseman. I love him. I loved what Ryan Coogler did with Creed. So I think they definitely got the right guy to be behind the camera. But I mean, Marvel just has a way of exerting their style over everything, where these films are going to follow a certain number of beats. They're going to, you know, walk that same line that most of these Marvel films walk. And I mean, while it looks beautiful, and while I'm sure the performances of Boseman and Lupita Nyong'o is in it, which I absolutely love her, but it doesn't do it for me. I do not get excited for Marvel films because I think Civil War was the last one that I rated more than a 6.
I'll tell you this much, though. If you removed the Marvel from it and the comic book movie from it, and this was a fucking character drama, you better bet Nick's ass would be in a theater seat to see this shit.
Well, yeah, because then I wouldn't have Kevin Feige lording his will over it.
So really, you rated Doctor Strange as lower than a 6?
I didn't see Doctor Strange.
I took that one for the team. I liked it, but he didn't see it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no, I checked out on Marvel movies. I think it was probably after the first Guardians, where I was just like, no. And I've seen, like I said, I saw Ragnarok, which I mean, I still had issues with it, but it was better. Like, it was funny. I love Taika Waititi's sensibilities in that. So it really did a lot of good in terms of that. And Hela was actually a pretty decent villainess, as opposed to, you know, most Marvel villains who get the short end of the stick. But like I said, I skipped on Spider-Man. I skipped on Doctor Strange. And Justin tells me I'm not going to, but he's not up here. He can't make me go to the movies and watch Black Panther or Infinity
War. I'll get the Hopester. I'll send the Hopester up there on a bus. I'll pay him good money, and I'll give him a whole load of booze to come up there and get you drunk.
Send him on a bus. He'd probably fall off the bus at one of the stops and then just get lost somewhere.
I've learned if you pay him enough and you booze him up enough, he may do what he's told. So you just wait and see what happens.
Nice. Fight. Hatton, what do you got there for us?
All right, so I had, because I figured that if the Marvel movies are going to be mentioned, I had a runner-up because I also had Avengers as my other one. Mm-hmm. But it is the little-known, only just recently teaser-websited, untitled Cloverfield sequel tentatively called God Particle.
Yes.
Yes. This made my most anticipated film of the year list 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
because it was supposed to come out in 2017 and now it got pushed to this year. I loved 10 Cloverfield Lane. I loved the original film, so I'm really, really excited to see where they go with the third one.
Yeah, I mean we already mentioned my love of Super 8. I'm a huge J.J. Abrams fan, minus one. Our show pointed hate discussion.
Yes.
But I've liked him since Alias. You know, I really enjoyed that show too. So the fact that he's continuing to do this thing where he's making another style film that is tangentially related to the same universe, but never really explained how. Just at the very least, it's a hype machine that keeps getting me excited. And then all of the media that gets you to that point just keeps me hooked. I literally, the minute that Japanese website went up, what is it? Hold on, I have it listed. Taguruatu.jp. Yep. I was in there. I was looking through the source code. I was like, oh my god, somewhere in here, I know there's a link to a trailer. And I'll be like that till the movie drops.
Yeah, but you know what makes you look through the code like that for a trailer?
Oh god.
I don't even have to say it. He knows what the answer is.
I love viral marketing. I remember when they did viral marketing for The Dark Knight, man, 10 plus years ago, legit, exactly 10 years ago this year. And it was the coolest thing ever as a fan to have to like find clues and put in effort to like get a trailer or a picture or a reveal of something. And I think that's something that they're doing that's the right thing to do. Make people excited again. Don't just hand feed everyone everything. Here's a trailer. Here's another trailer. Here's your TV spot. Here's pictures of everything. Like, make things special. And that's why 10 Cloverfield Lane was so good. The marketing was so great. We didn't even know what it was. We got it, like, out of nowhere. And it was amazing. And it had great performances in it. And I loved the shit out of it. So I'm extremely excited. I love your pick there. That's a perfect pick. Definitely my most anticipated of the year.
I got one.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, I loved about... Go ahead, sorry. Yeah.
No, you.
Okay. I was going to say, what I loved about Cloverfield Lane was the first one was a handheld camera movie. It merged two genres of things. And out of nowhere, 10 Cloverfield Lane becomes a three-character ship-in-a-bottle movie for half, 45, you know, most of it. And the last half hour becomes this one-person survival movie. It's just... It makes me super intrigued to see what God Particle will be as far as genre, because it looks like it's going to be somewhat space station-y. But given the other two, I have no fucking clue what to expect.
It's insane, and that's the coolest thing ever. It's the coolest thing ever to not know what to expect and to be excited about it. Like, that's what cinema is all about. That's what it was like being a kid in the 80s and the 90s, you know? Like, bring it back.
Yeah, no, I agree. The marketing aspect of it, like you said, is really cool to make people think and to be excited and feel like they're uncovering stuff to build hype for the movie, I think is a great idea. I mean, a lot of that, even you can go back as far as Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, that was really kind of the first big in that did that.
Yeah, where they created all these websites that had the, you know, the rumors and the story and news reports and everything. It really got people kind of invested in the film before the film ever came out, and not just through trailers, but to get invested in the tone of the film and the history of the film and the backstory of the film. I think that kind of marketing he does really well.
And similarly, I'm on this same very similar note, I just finished the last book I was reading, and the next book I have on my docket is Ship of Theseus, which is a book that Abrams put out. And similarly, it's the book comes in a slipcase, hardcover book, and it is a manuscript by this Russian guy who died under mysterious circumstances. So that's the main novel, but in the side of the book, there's little handwritten notes between two people that are passing the book back and forth. So when you get to, like, I don't know, page 50, you open up, there's another piece of paper in there. You open it up and it's like a message from the Russian guy to his mistress. And in the side notes, it's like, found this, thought you'd find it interesting. And they continue back and forth. So again, he just loves merging interesting genres. So all about
very cool.
Yeah, that's going to be an exciting one. I really, really can't wait for that.
All right, so Justin, least looking forward to or could give a shit about, what do we got? Hello?
I think he put his mic on mute.
He talked too much about Halloween. Now he's keeping quiet.
Yeah, but he should still hear us. We're not on mute.
I'm willing to bet you he probably got up and because we take breaks on the show.
Oh, I got
when
you.
We record segments, so he has to take a piss like literally every 20 minutes. So I'm sure he got up and went to take a piss.
We'll come back to him. Nick, what do you got for?
No, I'm here. What are you talking about?
Oh, here we go.
See, there he is. What did I tell you?
There we go. So here? So least looking forward to or could give a shit about. What do we got for you for 2018?
You know, guys, I know we've already gone around this a bunch of times. I don't want to be that guy, but who legitimately gives a shit about Ant-Man and the Wasp? Please, somebody tell me. Is anyone excited about this movie? I'm not. I don't care about it at all. It's the only big movie that I had on a list that I worked up a couple weeks ago when we were doing our most anticipated of the year. That I was like, wait, this is still happening? Like, now don't get me wrong. Like, I thought the first one was funny.
Right.
I'll give it that. Funny with literally one of the worst villains ever put on screen of all time. But, like, really? Like, I just don't see Ant-Man being a character that merits a sequel. I mean, hell, even Doctor Strange maybe even more so because that had at least fantasy elements and a different thing to do with it. But I don't know. I have zero interest in this film at all. Like, I'm not going to skip it because I'm that guy that gives a shot to everything. But yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp is probably like the only one I could think of right off the bat that like really I have no interest in it at all.
If I can be that guy, I think my biggest interest in it, to be perfectly honest, at its base level, is Evangeline Lilly in some skin-tight superhero outfit.
Of course there's going to be that, yeah. She looks good in the costume, for sure.
I will watch Evangeline Lilly read the phone book.
Yes.
But yeah, it was, like you said, it was a fun movie. It really felt like a reskinned Iron Man. It had a lot of the same vibe to it. But yeah, I wasn't crazy about the villain at all.
Yeah, it was a middle ground for, I mean, if there was one Marvel movie that I wasn't looking forward to the upcoming year, it's definitely that one. I mean, it's with the other hard hitters. That one's the one that it's got a lot of work to make itself comparable to anything else that Marvel's doing this year.
Yeah.
Other than that, guys, like, to be totally honest with you, like, there's not really anything else that I'm like, well, I mean, okay, I'll just bring this up just to see what the reaction is.
I mean, I'm wondering if it's the one I'm looking at right now, please.
Are you guys going to see the Bumblebee movie?
That is exactly the one I was looking at right now.
Jesus Christ.
Like, for real, that's a thing. Like, I keep forgetting, like, that's real.
Yeah, it's happening.
I mean, even after the last Transformers from last year, which I did go see, we all saw it because we took one for the team. We're that big film, guys. We do our best to try to please our audience, even if they're hoping that we just hate the shit out of it. We saw it. And I'm like, after that, I'm like, they're really going to make another one of these? It didn't even make that. I mean, it didn't make as much money as the last couple of them. And I'm like, who wants to see just a Bumblebee movie? I mean, I know he's like one of the more likable characters, but. Really, guys?
He's Bumblebee? Arguably the only
hey,
likable character.
At least it's the Bumblebee movie and not the Goldbug movie, okay? Because I remember the animated cartoon episode where that fucking happened.
You're like a gold bug.
You look like a gold bug. Thank you, Optimus Prime.
I mean, I know our epic film guy, Loy Sauce, is excited because Haley Steinfeld is in the film. And yeah, even wrestling damn, fans may be excited because John Cena's in it. But
no,
I mean,
we're not.
Even
not
so.
That you can see him.
It's, you know, it's who's going to see this?
Like, where in the Transformers storyline does this even fit? Is it like after the last night?
It's in 1987, supposedly.
Oh, okay. Jesus so it's a Christ. Prequel Transformers movie.
We haven't seen a trailer for it yet, and it comes out at the end of the year, so we'll see. But it comes out at like during Christmas time, so it's going to have a lot of competition. I really don't see this doing well. This may be the end. It may be the nail in the coffin to the Transformers franchise, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. This was my pick for the I don't give a shit next to, I don't really have a love of the Venom movie, but to be fair, I haven't seen Homecoming, so I don't know how they're reloading it. I just don't like Venom.
But I don't think it matters because apparently it's not connected to any of the other Spider-Man stuff.
Oh, whatever the fuck. Then I totally don't.
Well, Tom Holland's going to show up in a cameo as Peter Parker in it, though. So
knowing that,
if that means anything, it doesn't mean anything to me. Nothing. But
yeah,
that means they saw Tom Holland at a Starbucks and they just took a picture of him quick and they're just going to stitch it into the movie.
It's going to be a 2D shot of him walking in the background, pushed across like a stand up.
It's got to be better than the Venom that we got in Spider-Man 3.
Oh. You guys, it's Tom Hardy playing Venom. That's enough to get me at least excited. That's why it was on my top 10 list, because just seeing an actor of that caliber in the role. I mean, I get it if you don't like the character of Venom. A lot of people think of him as a very boring character. I do get that. I mean, but the imagery of the character is awesome. And dude, Tom fucking Hardy. I mean, you're talking about Evangeline Lilly. You'll watch her stand around in a costume. I'll watch Tom Hardy writing an essay with a pencil.
I was born of the liquid that made me the Venom. Raised in it.
I knew it was coming.
Bathed in it. It became
Take control, Gotham. So horrible. Well, my list for my movie for I really could fucking care less about, and Hatton will probably end up hating me for this one because I know where his loyalties lie with previous incarnations.
Oh, no.
I don't have any care in the world to see Ocean's 8.
I'm holding all judgment for the trailer. Because I can understand your fear.
Oh, it's not. No. It's not a fear. I just don't care to see it. I have an issue with this trend, I think, is the bigger way to put it.
Have you guys seen the trailer yet?
I've not seen the trailer.
It was released on December 19th, actually.
Ooh,
it's been playing in theaters. I saw it with what the hell did I see it with? Like 2 weeks ago. But the trailer's out, man, so you can go watch it and make your decision.
Okay.
I don't think it looks all that bad personally, but I mean, I'm not really connected to the franchise. I like the original Ocean's 11 with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin.
Oh, classic. And the thing that always stuck with me was the ending of that movie. Not only the story ending, but like the closing credits were so creatively done, where they're walking down the strip and you're just seeing all the different venue signs that have the credits on them as they're walking past it. Just the visionary of that movie. The original is great. The remake that they did, the first one, Ocean's 11, was good. The ones after that were, you know, hey, George Clooney and his friends want to go on vacation to Italy for 9 weeks. Let's make a movie. But yeah, this one, I understand they want more, you know, movies that have, female leads and strong female characters and everything else, but write them. This whole thing of taking male-centric movies and kind of just reskinning them as female movies, I don't see how it empowers women in Hollywood when you're basically just taking something and rehashing it and gender swapping it. I would love to see a great female cast crime thriller, but make an original one. You know, don't jump off of something else that's already been done. That's just me.
I get it.
Send your hate mail to somethingsomethingcast@gmail.com.
We'll get our female centric crime thriller later this year with now his name is escaping me. The guy that directed 12 Years a Slave, Viola Davis, is going to be starring in it. It's called Widows.
Okay.
Looks fantastic. They're she and three other women, they're the widows of these guys that get killed trying to plan a heist, and they then decide they're going to carry it out instead.
Oh, that sounds right up my alley.
Sounds really, really interesting, and I would watch Viola Davis read the phone book, so...
There you go. As would I. I mean, here's the thing, that going back to what we were just talking about. You could have Ocean's 8, the new Ocean's 8. Think about if they just made the same exact movie and it didn't connect it, because this is supposedly connected to the other films, and they just changed the title. Would people go to see it? Or would more people go to see it if it was called Ocean's 8? I mean, there's those of us that are like, oh, shit, it's a sequel to that, or it's... Like, I get your point. I totally agree with you, actually. Though it doesn't look that bad to me. It looks fine. That's what I put on something that looks like it's okay. It's fine. But that's the problem, is that Hollywood's too scared to do it. They don't have the balls to do it. Like, what if they released the same movie, changed things so it wasn't connected to the other films, and just called it something else? I think they're just worried that no one's going to go see it.
And
I think you're right.
And the actresses involved, too.
Right, because that puts the sense that the production company or the distribution company doesn't feel that they have the chops to carry a movie on their own. So we have to, even though we're making an all-female movie, we have to tie it to a franchise that's male-dominated in order to get people to come see it. And I think that does them a disservice, too. I totally agree with you. Well, and scene.
We do need the cricket soundboard.
See, wow. This is where, now I realize, Nick, now I appreciate the soundboard so much, because you know what you would do in that? You would play something to harass me, but it would fill in that gap, so it wouldn't just be like... I would
push a button that says, Justin sucked a dick last night.
It's going to get removed. You're deleting that. You said you'd delete that. That needs to be removed.
We're gonna have to put Michael screaming for Walt in all the dead air spots.
God damn it.
Walt!
And then, of course, the follow-up, Abel from Sons. Just people yelling for other people for hours.
So you got When They're Hattin'? What's your care less movie?
Yeah, no, mine was Venom.
Yeah,
we went over. So yeah,
gotcha.
And it was between that and Bumblebee, because Bumblebee.
But can you imagine? I imagine the dialogue that somebody has to write for that movie. A third of the dialogue is just going to be random fucking radio stations.
Yeah, it's going to
happen. He doesn't have a voice actor that talks for him. He talks from radio stations.
Now let's address the fact that these movies are generally geared towards a mix of Super Transformers fans and kids. Maybe some of the Super Transformers fans have remained this long. But if this movie is a time period piece that's happening in the mid-80s and he's speaking in nothing but pop culture quotes, what fucking 8-year-old is going to know what Where's the Beef means?
Yeah, exactly. Your fucking Max Headroom or stupid bullshit.
What you talking about, Willis? Who the hell's that? Says the 8-year-old.
They should just have him be voiced entirely by clips from indie podcasts. Just whatever random shit they can pull out of, like, all the podcasts in the Potter family will all just send in a bunch of clips and they can just turn it into a hodgepodge of shit.
You have just motivated me, sir. You have given me a goal that when this finally comes out on DVD at some point in time for like $11.99, it needs to be like they do the fake lip reading and they do the different voiceovers on YouTube. We need to re-audio all just of these
everything
scenes
Bumblebee says.
Just with random Potter and Family podcast clips.
That would be awesome. That would be so
wow. Bobby, why did Bumblebee say he would suck a man's dick last night?
And that could come from like a dozen different shows.
Yeah.
At least. Oh, good stuff. So you are the Epic Film Guys. Where can people find your stuff? Because I know you're not just that podcast. You guys have a lot of other stuff going on. Where can people find all the goodness that you guys are involved in?
www.epicfilmguys.com. That's www.epicfilmguys.com.
Checks
Sorry,
in the mail.
Nick, I had to do it. Sorry, I had to do it.
Checks in the mail.
We're all over the place, aren't we, Nick? Aren't we like legit, like all over the place? All the places I don't even know. Like the
we're giant whores. That's what we are. We are just giant whores.
The name of the game.
Epic Film Guys. Just search for us. I mean, literally, it's as simple as that. We are like pages and pages worth of Google results. You can find us on pretty much any podcatcher, any social media outlet, as it were. We like to swear and talk about movies. Justin bumbles in every once in a while as this drunk asshole who won't shut the hell up.
That's and not then, me, though. How are you going to say that? No. Don't listen to him. But yeah, there's a guy that comes on the show. They call him the Hobster, yet he does his own thing, okay? Then we have the Loy Sauce, or Loy Choss, too, he comes on to.
Loy Choss.
You can enjoy Loy Choss.
Loy Sauce. We're 127 episodes strong, going to 128 this week. Ew. And yeah, no sign of slowing down. We've got live stream for The Cure 2.0 coming this May. As soon as Justin tells me that the dates are good, so I can actually fucking plan it, or I'll kill
they're
him.
They're good. Sure, they're fine.
Yeah, you're. I'm going to sure
I'll,
you.
I'll forget anyways after.
Yes, you'll forget anyway. Okay. When are we doing that thing again?
So for people who may not have been privy to the first one, talk about that real quick.
Well, essentially what we did last year was 12 straight hours of live streaming, all to raise money for the Cancer Research Institute. And essentially the Cancer Research Institute doubled all of the donations that we made. We raised just about $1,200. So in total, we raised almost $2,500 for cancer research. This year, I want to blow the doors off of it. We're going bigger. We're going better. I want to do a whole weekend. And I don't want to do 72 straight hours of live streaming because I would literally die. But what I want to do is I want to do 3 days, 8 hours a day, and we're going to sign up a ton of different podcasts to come on as guests and talk to us and just do all sorts of just crazy stuff. We play games, all sorts of film-related segments. Just like I said, I'm going to plan this thing like 5 times bigger. You're supposed to only go maybe a little bit bigger or whatever, but I'm going to go blow the doors off. I want to hit $5,000 this year. I want to like really raise a lot of money for it. So we're super, super, super excited to get all that stuff put together.
Let me know when those dates are, because where you're donating to, it has a personal meaning for me over the past year. So let me know when that is, because I definitely want to get involved in this.
It will most likely be the 18th through the 20th of May, unless it's the weekend before Memorial Day. So unless something changes, it will be that weekend, because Memorial Day is what, the 28th, I think.
28th, yeah.
Yeah. So it's the weekend that precedes Memorial Day weekend. And yeah, like I said, we're going to be live streaming. You guys, we'd love to have you guys show up. And, we block out different time frames, and then we bring on guests and we just play in all sorts of fun stuff. We just have fun. We have all these little crazy sound noises and stuff that play whenever people donate. And yeah, it's like I said, I want to blow the doors off it this year. We had a lot of fun last year. We're going to have even more this year. It's going to be great.
I'm super very cool. Definitely going to be awesome. You guys should definitely be a part of it if you can. It'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually going to be in New Hampshire that weekend, but I'm going to work something out. I'll figure out a time frame, and I want to try to get involved in that. That's awesome that you guys do that, and that's a great cause that you're doing it for, and it's an awesome amount of money. And that they doubled it is even like gravy on top. So
that was
fantastic.
The best part of it to me is it not only we didn't hit the goal that we had set, because I set a goal for the show itself to raise $2,500. And then, right when the month of May started, as we were ramping up toward the show, they said, whatever you guys make this month, we're going to double. And it was like, and it made it that much sweeter to be able to do, something like that and to be able to make such an impact. I feel like we've got this platform and we've got whatever, 4 or 5 people that listen to the show and give a shit about it. So we've got to, flex that muscle. We've got to use that and, try to do some good with it. So yeah, it was really, really great. I love the Cancer Research Institute. Hopefully their website is better. They've had a year now. Last year they had just redesigned it and it was garbage, but I mean, they, funnel when I looked for, charities to funnel it to, I wanted to pick one that most of their money went back into research. Like, you could donate to some of these cancer places and it all goes to overhead and shit. Like, none of it actually goes to research.
Right.
Like, CEOs are taking home big paydays and stuff like that out of it. Like, I didn't want that. I wanted it to go all to research. And Cancer Research Institute, I believe it's 87 or 88 cents out of every dollar goes back into cancer research, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. So again, epicfilmguys.com, go check it out, and they will have all of the dates and times information for that and all of their 120 odd plus and growing episodes. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
It's been an honor
and privilege,
guys. Thank you guys very, very much for having us.
Yep, and we're going to have contact info for you guys on our show notes on our website, too. So anybody who ends up on somethingcast.com, they'll be able to check out where they can find you guys with links there and just get right to you guys.
Perfect. Thank you guys, Justin, so much for having us.
Justin, Nick, Epic Film Guys, thanks a lot for coming on, guys. It's been a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was a ball.
All right. We'll see you guys next time at hashtag Potter and Family.
Yep, yep. You have anything further, James?
Other than just telling everybody that right now, if they want to get some of the audiobooks based on the movies that we are talking about, strike that. The audiobooks that the movies are based on, they can go to audibletrial.com/something, and they will get 30 days of all the Audible benefits that a monthly subscriber gets. That includes one free audiobook, such as one of the ones we were talking about earlier, Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer, narrated by Carolyn McCormick. It is the first of the Southern Reach trilogy. You could get that for free just going to audibletrial.com/something, and you can find out what all of the big hits are when they were just words. That's all I got.
Good stuff. And we will be announcing a new sponsor next month.
That's true. We got people who likes us.
We do. Little teaser.
Yep, yep. And you will, when you hear who our sponsor is, you'll be like, oh, I know that guy. And that means you should go check them out because they are a friend of the show and they are doing wonderful things.
I think we're all done here.
Yep, yep. So with that said, we'd like to thank you all and we will see you next time. I'm James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob.
See you later.
Later. Squinting my eye and turning on and off the light. It's for this experimental film, which nobody knows about, and which I'm still figuring out what's going to go in my experimental film. Yeah, you're all gonna be in this your face in blue.